This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
So a little Arrowhead for you this weekend, Al? Is that what I heard you say?
I think tomorrow. For like a day.
Okay. You go fishing? What do you do up there?
No, we'll go...
That's awesome. serious question.
Just seeing me out there, it's just kind of...
Sit on the dock. Have a cold beer. Just throw a line in the water.
So you stay out there? Like, what do you do out there? Seriously.
So tomorrow we'll probably drive up in the morning. So get there by, let's say, between 10:30, 11, something along those lines. We'll go for a long walk / hike. There, you can actually walk along. There's a trail you could take. You're not going to do the whole thing because I think it's 10 miles if you go around the entire lake. But we'll go for a good amount just to be outside. Her parents have a small cabin up there, so we'll take advantage of that. After that, let's go get some food. Let's go. Most likely, we'll go grill, do something on the barbecue there. Barbecue's on a balcony. Just kind of sit back there. More than anything else, it's just getting the fresh air and just kind of getting away.
I think you should go to Toys R Us. Does that still exist?
No,
probably not.
Toys R Us probably gone since '98.
Well, we'll call it Walmart. Go to Walmart. Buy yourself a $10 fishing pole. Put a little hook on the end. Don't even bait it.
Nothing is more boring than fishing.
Yes. I agree with you. I'm not an angler, to use the vernacular. But sitting there, staring at the lake, having a couple of beers out of your cooler, that doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world.
I was just going to say, anyway. I could do that. There's an area I could do that with, and I could bring a little cooler out.
Yeah.
And I don't have to pretend like I'm going to go get some fish.
It's kind of
stare at the lake.
What time do we show up for the fight?
Oh, yeah.
9 o'clock. Yeah, come at 9 p.m. Is that what time it's at? Something like that, 8:39?
Depending on the preliminary fights, yeah.
That's the worst part when you go to those fights. Like, the main event is going to happen. Let's say when the fights are on the West Coast, the main event would usually happen when I would go to the Tyson and the De La Hoya, 9 or 9:30, right? That's when the main event would start. The prelim fights would start around 5 or so.
6-ish, yeah, 5:36. Mm.
Oh, officially, M? Okay,
yeah, so
breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Not a surprise, but Emily, what do you got?
Los Angeles Lakers dismissed coach Darvin Ham, sources tell ESPN. In two seasons, Ham was 90-74 with a Western Conference Finals berth, two play-in victories, and an in-season title. Lakers lost in 5 games to Denver in opening round. So Darvin Ham officially dismissed as head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah. I mean, it's a... official, and now we can speculate about it in an official capacity,
yep.
But absolutely no surprise. This is, I don't think, exclusively his fault that the Lakers were knocked out in the first round, but I think that he certainly has some fingerprints on it as well, because simply put, the reason they had to play the Nuggets in the first round is because they were in the bottom half of the draw, as opposed to even in the middle or the top, to get to avoid them for as long as possible. You didn't use your best players for the first 50 games of the season, as far as your 5 best starting players. And I get it if you're shuffling the decks, Lee, and you find, oh, there it is. We'd never seen that. That's the combination that unlocks everything. That was the same combination that made you go on a run the year before. And that you didn't use that just defied explanation to me.
I think also, you know, let's not forget this. And for me, this is the most telling moment of Darvin Ham's time as a Los Angeles Laker. You just lost a brutal game against the Denver Nuggets in game 2, where you were up 20 points. And Jamal Murray hits a dagger over arguably your best player in Anthony Davis. And I get there's a lot of emotion in that game. I get you're down 0-2. I get that Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Darvin Ham probably all believed at that moment we're not winning 4 or 5 games against the Denver Nuggets. But for for Anthony Davis to say at that moment, we don't know what we're doing.
On both ends
of the floor. That is a direct shot at the coaching staff. That's a direct shot at Darvin Ham. I thought the only way Darvin Ham keeps his job is if you basically had players that were saying, if you think we didn't get to the NBA Finals or we couldn't get past the Denver Nuggets because Darvin Ham was the problem, you're all idiots. He's not the problem. I also did not hear players coming out of their way to say Darvin Ham should be our coach.
Breaking news on ESPN is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons today. Here is a tweet from Sham Sharania. An extensive search will commence soon with candidates such as Mike Budenholzer, Kenny Atkinson, J.J. Redick, and, if he becomes available, Ty Lue, among others. We could sit here and debate.
I think they copy and paste all those coaches every year. The only difference was J.J.
J.J. Redick, they needed to make an edit.
But, yeah, exactly. Well, Kenny Atkinson, Mike Brown, I've seen available in how many different places.
So, great. Any or all of those guys, one of them gets the job. Maybe it's a name we haven't met. Okay, fine. And they needed to make a change. I think Darvin was not the right man for the job this time. No, I only met Darvin a couple of times. Nice guy. I enjoyed talking with him, but didn't seem like he had the pulse of the team, and the team wasn't fighting to keep him around. So whatever. Time to move on. They got to get a better team. Like, I get that improving the coach will help, but they need a better team. They went to the final in the bubble. That was a good team. That was a really good team. They won the title, and the pieces fit together really well. It was
youth, vets,
good
champions,
team.
Bigs.
It was a good team. Since then, they've had not great teams. They've had a couple that were okay. I don't think this year's team was a bad team, but it's not, again, it's not as good as the Thunder. It's not as good as the Nuggets. It's not as good as Minnesota. It's not as good as the Celtics. There are teams that are clearly better than they are. And, oh, by the way, there are other teams that are ascending. San Antonio is ascending. Memphis will get Ja back. We'll see what if the Pelicans ever get the Zion piece of this whole thing figured out. You need to get into that group of teams. Your group of teams is the Warriors, the Suns, the Clippers, the Sacramento Kings. That's the group of teams that you're with, and it's not just this year. You've been with those teams for the last several years. You've had a run 2 years ago. The team needs to get better, and that's the challenge that the coach is not going to fix. The coach can improve marginally, but the team needs to get better.
I do think, and I know you're not underplaying the coach. I know you're not. But I do think the coach is critical. And I think they're going to walk into a summer where, look, you only got so many more swings left. This is it. In the LeBron James era, this is your final
swing.
Can
we honestly say that, like, one or two more? Is that what we're talking? I mean, he's not going to be an impactful guy at 43, is he?
This is why it's your final swing. It's your final swing because the coach you have is going to probably be here for the remainder of LeBron's contract. That the player you go trade for, if you go trade three first-rounders this summer, there isn't another swing next summer. Mm. This is your guy. That's what I mean by you don't have many more opportunities. This summer is your best shot of improving the team and the coaching staff under LeBron James. When LeBron is gone, then, okay, you start over, you do whatever you're doing.
Depends on how much you send out to fix this team.
What you said was the team's got to get better. I think this is what we learned this year, okay? Everybody was asking the Lakers, can you stop shuffling the deck after every year? And the Lakers said, cool, we agree with you. We're not going to shuffle the deck. We're going to re-sign D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, and Rui Hachimura, and Jared Vanderbilt, another player they re-signed. And then we're going to kind of work around the edges. But once you got those four guys, you're like, all right, you're going to take your chances after that. Here's what happened. This goes back to what you said, is you need better players. D'Angelo Russell, I got no idea in a playoff game what he's going to give you. Literally. He's going to have 7 threes in one game. He's going to have 0 points the next game. I have no idea what he's going to give you. Rui Hachimura, I know what he's going to give you. 4 out of 5 times, he's not going to be a good player, an effective player. That's what Rui Hachimura just told us this past playoff run. Austin Reeves, I think, got better as the playoffs went on. But
he's fine.
Austin Reeves is your third best player, I don't think you have the talent you need to go out there. So the question is going to be this summer, how do you improve that roster? Can I throw a question your way, because it's the name that just keeps coming up? Would you trade the farm for Trae Young?
No.
Okay. I wouldn't either.
God, I mean, wow. Is there somebody that thinks that's a good idea? I'd love to hear.
Trae Young. How about the Lakers front office? Yeah.
How about LeBron James? Sleep.
How about the fact that he's a clutch client? His name's been brought up around the Lakers now for about 6-8 months, something along those lines.
Wow.
I would not. That shouldn't sound surprising to you.
It's not surprising. It's just a terrible idea.
Well, so
this will make Russell Westbrook look like signing Jerry West. This is a very bad idea.
At least the difference is Russell Westbrook or Trae Young is 25 or whatever
he is
versus Russell Westbrook's age.
It is the same ice cream in a different box. So, it is a bad idea.
So this is why I say you can't miss this summer. Because if you think giving up the farm for Trae Young is the difference, and when I say the farm, I'm not even talking about 3 first rounders. I'm also talking about Austin Reeves. I'm also talking about Rui Hachimura. You got to match contracts.
Sure. No, I understand.
Gabe Vincent, so you're also giving up whatever it is that you're giving up. I don't even think, can I be honest with you? I don't even feel like this is one of those situations where it doesn't even feel like anybody is sold that Trae Young is the answer. I think he's the only player available.
You know, I'm going to go back to what Ireland told us the other day when we were talking about this, that hopefully players become available that we don't think are available today. As we sit here on May 3rd, that there are 4 or 5 guys that you don't even know are going to move that do.
I agree with that.
Right? Like,
I agree with that.
Last year at this point, anybody think Damian Lillard was going to be on the Bucks? I'm not saying it worked out, but
I know
one
mean.
Of the biggest names. Like maybe he'd go to Miami. All of a sudden, he's on the Bucks. Okay? Porzingis, his name. Drew Holiday. Like, guys moved. Maybe there's a few of those.
And that's the same with coaches, too.
Sure.
There's coaches that you don't know are going to be available.
If the plan is hire a new coach and flip your assets, both your draft picks and your, you know, non-AD LeBron James players for Trae Young, good luck with that. Good luck with that, because that just that feels
whatever
like
it is,
a catastrophe waiting to happen.
Whatever it is, they can't miss. Because you miss this time. Russ already cost you a couple years and extra picks. You miss this time, it's at a time where that's supposedly supposed to be the player that is with Anthony Davis after LeBron is gone.
And again, this is all Darvin Ham's fault. This whole season is Darvin Ham's fault. Firing him will solve every single problem. And
wait. If I'm correct, there's a lot of people that thought Darvin Ham should be fired.
Yeah.
So it's not like
mad he's gone.
Nobody's saying that. I think the one thing that I will just say, I agree with firing Darvin Ham. I agree Darvin Ham was not the right coach of the Lakers. But to now, I also don't want to hear people saying, well, why'd you fire Darvin Ham?
No, I don't think anybody's going to say that.
I
don't think anybody's going to say, why'd you fire Darvin Ham? It's going to be, okay, you fired Darvin Ham. Good start. Now what? I think that's what it is. It's not, why did you do that? It's, okay.
And also, you hired Darvin Ham. You also thought Darvin Ham.
Yeah, for sure. But Darvin Ham is the obvious, easy thing to do. Change the coach for 2 reasons. One, it's the obvious, easy thing to do. And, oh, by the way, it's time to move on. He wasn't the right guy. So, yeah, okay. But that's not the only thing that needs to get done. It's also what happens after this with the roster, with the picks, with the draft, with the makeup of the rest of it.
You're right.
That is the next step and equally important to what just happened.
And just if you're just tuning in right now, Darvin Ham has been officially fired from the Los Angeles Lakers. So this is Rob Pelinka's press release in regards to why let go of Darvin Ham. So he said, "We greatly appreciate Darvin's efforts on behalf of the Lakers and recognize that many accomplishments achieved over the past 2 seasons, including last year's remarkable run to the Western Conference Finals," said Rob Pelinka. "We all want to thank Darvin for his dedication and positivity. While this is a difficult decision to make, it is the best course of action following a full review of the season. This organization will remain unwavering in its commitment to deliver championship-caliber basketball to the Lakers fans around the world."
Okay. Cool. Nice statement. Well-written. Excellent. You just said they have to get it right. They have to get the coach right. They have to get the roster right. What if they don't? Then whose fault is it? I think you just read a statement from him. And when does that land if you don't get it right? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So it is official. Darvin Ham has been released as the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers issued a statement wishing him well, thanking him for his time. The things that teams do when they move on from one of their coaches. You said it a second ago, Salih, that they have to get this next one right. I agree with you. You have to get the next head coach of the Lakers right. It's important. I'm not saying it's not important, but it's a piece of what's important.
Can I clarify?
Sure.
Pelinka has to get it.
So you also have to rebuild the roster.
Yep.
Okay. And it's not a total teardown. You got LeBron James. You've got Anthony Davis. That's a really good starting point. I think we all agree on that. But you gotta get a lot better. Like, look at these other teams that we've been talking about.
And younger, too.
Again, Shea, Chet, Luka, Ant, Murray, Jokic, Tatum, Brown, Halliburton, Brunson. These are all young guys that are ascending and getting better. Your guys are older players, getting older, probably not getting better. You're just hoping that they kind of maintain where they are at this point. So you got to redo the roster. The person that released that statement, Rob Pelinka, is the same person that's responsible for hiring the next coach, is the same person that's responsible for rebuilding the roster and making a trade potentially, drafting sure. the next players yep. and all these things. It's the same guy that hired Darvin Ham. It's the same guy that hired Frank Vogel. Both of those guys were in, out, pretty darn quick. Vogel 3 years, Ham 2. It's the same guy that tore down a championship team and has basically been chasing a roster ever since. It's yep. been a different team. The last year to this year, at least the end of last year to this year, was roughly the same. But other than AD and LeBron, everything else has really changed at one point or another. You're asking the same guy to redo it again. How many times does he get to say, yeah. that's not the right coach, yeah. that's not the right yep. mix of players? Because anybody can have AD and LeBron.
I can answer that question for you. He's got to be on the clock too, period.
Like today,
yeah,
right?
Because let's simplify this. Bill Simmons put out a good tweet, and I've seen this before, but this is on the, again, I believe Darvin Ham should have been fired. I do believe that. But Darvin Ham didn't trade for Russell Westbrook. Darvin Ham didn't pick D'Lo over Mike Conley. I'm reading Bill Simmons, and I think this is the right tweet to read because it highlights some things that are important. Darvin Ham didn't draft Jalen Hood-Schifino over Jaime Jaquez. Darvin Ham didn't give a short deal to D'Lo, which just became a trade chip. The entire conversation was all about that. Rob Pelinka.
Caruso left. That's another part.
A huge mistake that Alex Caruso. I'm sure I'm leaving things out.
Yeah.
And this is, again, I'm reading somebody else's
and
tweet
KCP.
Here. I think that at the end of the day, this is what's on the docket for Rob Pelinka. If the next coach you hire is not the right coach, and if the free agents that you go after this summer are not the right free agents, tell me how you justify then Rob Pelinka is going to fix it. Tell me. Because if this is the time, and I get it, only one team is an NBA champion every single year. I understand that.
But they're not any closer to it than they were.
But this is the question. Because if you're going to now accommodate everything to LeBron James, like the franchise has already basically said that it's going to do, and they've told us that virtually by the Lakers losing to the Denver Nuggets and all these articles.
Yeah,
come
you don't
out.
Have to be Kreskin to read between the
yeah,
lines.
Okay. If that
modern reference, by the way, Kreskin.
if you're going to accommodate everything to LeBron James, and then this summer you're going to take every single asset that you have for the present and for the future. To go, by the way, I'm okay with this. This is what the Lakers do. They're going to go try to hit a home run. That's what they're going to try to do. All I'm saying is, can't screw it up.
Yeah, but the guy that you're asking to hit the home runs keeps striking out. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't where, okay, You sit down.
They
next
strike
guy
out every time.
Not every time, but the last several times.
Yes.
Russell Westbrook, swing and a miss. Frank Vogel, I guess, was a swing and a miss because he'd only lasted 3 years.
I don't think he was a swing and a miss.
Well, he didn't last very long, Al. They felt it was a swing and a miss because they fired him.
But you agree that you can't win and be considered a swing
and
a miss.
But he was gone. We're talking about different things. I hear what you're saying. I'm not saying he didn't have success.
He was gone because of their wrongdoing of trading for Russ.
I agree.
Which
but
is,
by
ties
their
back to
definition,
the front office.
If you fire a guy 2 years after winning a title, that's not a win, right? Darvin Ham comes in 2 years, swing and a miss. All veterans, the Carmelo Anthony, Dwight Howard, Russell, disaster. Last year at the beginning of the season, disaster. They kind of cleaned it up a little bit. Those moves,
definitely,
you could
definitely
give them as a small win. They made a nice little run last year, more because of matchups than anything else, but it worked, right? This didn't work. You're out in the first round again. Your two best guys just got a year older. They just put probably two seasons in the bank as far as games played that we're probably not going to see again. You're asking him, give me another. How many swings do you get at it?
I'm not telling you that. The question isn't, do you have confidence he's going to fix it? The question is, he can't, or the response is, he can't miss. What I'm referring to that when I say he can't miss is, you can't tell me that we could sit here in 2 years and then just complain about another coach.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. Or we're sitting here a year from now and the Lakers are out again in the first round. And by the way, they gave up all their assets trying to do it. That's
well.
The only target now left, because this is really the truth, the only target left now is who is running basketball operations. That's Rob Pelinka. So moving forward, I would like to say less about the coach and the individual players.
Sure.
Because it's going to be that individual that's putting the coach and the individual players in play.
But who's really running basketball operations? Okay, is it Genie?
It's a great
point.
Is it
Pelinka? Is it LeBron James? And this is how every GM has to work when you have LeBron James. His thumb is all the way on the scale. He's the one saying, go get Russ. He's the one saying all these things.
Then they don't say no.
Then
you know what happens in that position? You die on your own sword.
That's what I'm saying. It's not easy because of what Emily just mentioned. It's not just a, here is my vision for this, and we're going to go pursue it relentlessly. It's, here's my vision for this. What's yours? Okay, now, what's yours? Okay, let's get this one other guy in here. What's yours? It just seems like the collaboration on things like this, you want to put as much input as you want, but ultimately there's got to be one guy making the decision, and I don't think it is one. I think that LeBron has an incredible amount of influence.
Of course he does.
Which I guess is fine, but the results need to be fine, and so far they haven't been.
If you're the Lakers, do you offer all the money in the world, everything possible, to either Bob Myers or Sam Presti? If this happens, where the same thing happens, Pelinka's gone next year.
Like, you fast-forwarding a couple years and they're in the same spot?
Yeah, exactly. Do you offer every single thing you can? Because you're the Lakers. You have to have a great GM, so why not offer everything you have to those two guys? They've proven it to work.
I would.
And that would also mean that both these guys have gone through rebuild and rebuilt organizations.
I would. I think at that point, if what are we in? We're 2020. If we're in May 2026 in the same thing, we're right back where we were.
Yeah,
like,
but, and that's why I go back to it. Just go back to the same thing that we just said. He's on the clock now. Yes, you
but
have
it
to
can't be another, well, you knew this guy, so you come on in and do it. It needs to be almost a philosophical change at that point where we need to modernize, for lack of a better word.
Sure, I agree with that.
We need to look at this the way that other places are looking at this, because you do have built-in advantages of the brand, of the city, of being able to
Lakers
take
don't have
the
to,
best guy.
Lakers don't have to build the way the Timberwolves do.
They don't, but they also need to have some structures in place that allow you to build that isn't just, okay, who's the next big free agent? Okay, we'll take him, and then we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah,
they have the opportunity to do both at the same time, but with LeBron here and his influence, and I'm not saying he shouldn't have it, but the fact that there are multiple people calling the shots.
Well, and that's why we went back to that conversation. I don't feel like the Lakers need to think they have no leverage with LeBron James. I don't feel like that's how they should.
They're not willing to use it.
Not even remotely close, like even giving a percentage of, like, LeBron.
Have you ever considered?
Yeah. It's not even, have you ever considered, but like, hey, just so you know, I mean, we kind of have the keys too to this franchise. And they don't even, I don't even feel like they use it to an degree.
They don't. They haven't. I mean, we'll see. They're on the clock. Rob's on the clock. The next coach, who we don't even know his name yet, is on the clock. And it starts literally right now.
This is the last hurrah with LeBron. These next 2 years, your coach will time up probably with LeBron. Whatever free agent you go out and try to trade, not even free agent, whoever you try to go trade, everything will line up. This is it. This is your last 2 years with Bron.
Or three.
I'd lean more towards two.
I know you would.
Oh, you're talking about Bron? I thought you were talking about coaching for a second.
No, they usually do about two years.
I'm talking about
whatever LeBron wants, LeBron's going to get. And if he wants three, I wouldn't say the three is completely off the table. Factor Caps coming up next. If you are on hold, stay there. We'll take your calls talking about the Laker coaching change. It's all coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys.
Aloha.
I can't believe they did this to Darvin Ham after he got them a banner this year. Come on, the in-season tournament, guys.
The first one, too.
Exactly. Is it going to be a curse of the in-season tournament winner?
Ridiculous.
Oh, I like that. That's officially a curse now, even though we've only had it one time. We're doing that.
Well, wasn't the coach of the year fired 2 years in a row?
Monty Williams was fired.
Monty Williams and Nick Nurse, I think.
The other guy in Toronto, the guy before Nick Nurse. Well, he won Coach of the Year, was fired the very same year.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it Mitchell?
Sam Mitchell. Yeah, happened. It happens a few times. Yeah.
What do you got, Em?
Interesting. All right. So this happened to my friends, and this was a restaurant that they had gone to that was pretty hyped up. You know, it had been, everyone's like, oh my God, you got to go check out this place. This place is up and coming. They went there, they had a less than stellar experience, and they're not going to go back again. So a restaurant has one chance with you. Travis, Factor Cap.
Sad but true fact.
Mm.
Especially if it's a new place. It depends on what you miss on. But if you miss on the food, I'm out.
Okay, say there's a world in which I go to the Masters for the very first time. Yeah. I have a less than stellar experience.
Yeah.
I'm never going back, even though it's proven to be a great place to eat.
If I didn't have a good experience, especially to use your example, if it's expensive, I'm not taking a big swing a second time if it's not good. Now, if the drink was bad, if the service wasn't great, but if the food was good, like, man, that's great. I want to eat that steak again. I want that seafood tower again. I'm going back and giving them a second chance. If the service is bad a couple times, if the drinks are bad, I'm not going back. But if I have a meal and it's like, that's it. This is a good example. They opened a brand new place in my neighborhood. They don't open a lot of new places in my neighborhood. The place there, been there a while for the most part. Susan and I went for the first time, and it was
underwhelmed.
It was fine, mm-hmm. but it was expensive, and it wasn't. Man, that was great, and we're both like, yeah, we're good. Never again.
Berg?
Tough business.
So I think it's Cap because, to your point, yeah, it depends on the price point. Like if it's really expensive, yeah, you got one shot with me if I'm not paying a whole bunch for that. But if it's a smaller place, like a place on the side of the road or if just a regular restaurant, I'll give the food a second chance and see, like, okay, maybe I just didn't like that or it wasn't cooked right that day. I'll go back a second time. If it's bad again, no, I'm totally out at that point. But for the most part, I'll give places two tries.
Al?
It's a complicated one. I'm going to lean towards Cap as well. This is where I lean towards Cap. We had a restaurant we went to a couple months ago. Really did not like the server. It was rude. Just like, simply put, the server was rude. But I've been to that restaurant before. I've never had an issue at that restaurant. I like the food there. I will still go back and just make sure that I'm not with this server anymore.
But it wasn't your first time. You'd been there previously.
I've been there before. The one thing you said about cost, if I feel like I didn't get my money's worth, if I feel like, oh my God, you know, that's just like the worst feeling to have because you're already going to go out there and you're already spending money. Things aren't cheap anymore. If you go to a nice restaurant and I'm like, I feel like I got hosed, that's an easy one for me to walk away from and not go back. But it's kind of those mid-tier restaurants that I like or I want to go back or the food's really good. If I had one bad experience, I'm going to give them a second chance.
Jorge?
Yeah, I'm with Alan on this one. I like to go twice. If I go by myself or with a date or whoever, with Brenda, mm-hmm. and we don't like it, cool. The next time we go with a group of friends, and maybe the group experience is different than, you know, the individual experience. Also, what I look at is when you walk in the restaurant and how long they take to sit you down. That it's a big factor to be
there.
It's the little things. It's how long are you waiting? How quickly do the drinks come out? And if the food is good, a lot of other things can be off, and you're like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to try it again, see if they can clean it up. But if the food is off, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And didn't Bourdain say like Tuesday is the best day to go to a restaurant because that's like when all the food is the freshest, or like the best day for seafood specifically?
Oh,
because like I think by Sunday,
I have been told never to
stews by Sunday.
Yeah, I have been told never get fish on a Sunday because it's the only day that they don't get fresh deliveries.
Right. Yeah. It's been it's been sitting there. It's all the extras. Yeah. We're in enough restaurants to see that happen. Put it in the soup, eh?
I think we've all had this experience where you've been a part of a group chat, and whether or not you actually really like these people, you want to be involved in whatever's being planned, sometimes they blow up way too much with people putting in way too much useless information. So if that happens, if you're being overwhelmed by a group chat, you mute it. Berg, fact or cap?
1,000% fact. 1,000. I have a group chat that is just UCLA fans. Don't laugh. Just UCLA fans. And
there's two of you?
There's, I pointed at you. I should have pointed at you also. This is why you two get along. I hate it.
Gee, I just did a no look right to her.
Right.
There's a lob.
But no, there's a few of us, and it is on constant do not disturb because it goes through all the time. They're always talking about something that's happening on message boards and all these different things and every little UCLA thing that happens. It's constantly. And now whiskey, too. They're talking about whiskey all the time. I'm like, I love whiskey.
Yeah,
I can't talk
about
it. I do. I love it. I can't talk about it all the time. So it's muted, and it's muted for life.
Okay.
I go to it when I want to.
Why not just remove yourself from it?
No, because I like to talk to them when I want to talk to them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Fact, I kind of imagine we all kind of have something. I got a group of buddies and all great guys. Problem is, one guy was out of the chat for a while. He came back in. And if he was out of the chat for like a year, he's making up for the year that he was gone.
Oh, no, that's annoying.
That's funny.
So I can't keep up. And when you have, and this is a group chat, but it's in WhatsApp, right? So you might have literally, if I look at my phone, I might have 30 messages in there. I'm not catching up of 30 messages, so I'm going to go directly to the bottom. Then it's like, no, I don't want to hit on a war story right now. Like, I'm good. So, yeah, definitely mute them.
So you don't go one by one down the line being like, okay, on Tuesday, April 3rd, you said this. On Tuesday, April
9th. Not happening.
No, I haven't. I don't have a million group chats. I probably have, I don't know, 4 or 5, maybe 6 if I include my family group chat. And if I'm not feeling it, I just let it go by and I just don't participate.
Basically mute all texts, though, because you don't have notifications for it, right?
I don't.
So basically you mute it so you're not like getting the buzzes.
I don't get the buzzes, but I check my phone. I mean, look, I'm as addicted to this stupid thing as anyone else. I'm opening it and looking at it every couple of minutes, tops, unless I am intentionally not to. And I open it, and if I see it's a text chain about something that I have no interest in, I just don't respond to it for a while and I'll catch up later. And unlike Sleaze Buddy, I don't have to go back to the top of the chain and start reacting to it.
So when there's like 3 hours that go by between a text from you, that means that you saw it and decided not to respond.
Could be.
Yeah.
Okay. Could be.
Just being clear.
Yeah, I know.
Like if I send a text about the Dodgers and I get nothing back for 2 hours, you just
no, 2 hours, I could be at dinner. It could be one of those things. Okay. But if it's Wednesday night and you send me a Dodger text at 8 o'clock, I probably saw it and just didn't want to respond to it.
If you send it at 9:30,
fair. If it's Bellinger sucks, I could let that one go.
Sure.
If it's sometimes not everything needs a response, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If it's 9:30, he was in bed about an hour.
The Dodger stuff, I take the bait 95% of the time.
Yeah.
And Jorge?
So do I.
Cap, there's two people that I hate being on a group chat with. One of them is Laura Romo, and the other one is my buddy Jeff Bowe, who lives in Arizona.
Why Laura?
Because she'll comment about anything. Oh, my God, the freeway this. Oh, this. I'm running the computer. Oh, I want to get this kind of start. Oh, this place sucks. And it's just like that. So Jeff, he's in Arizona, and he forgets that, for instance, in that group chat is Carlo, me, and our buddy Chris. Jeff forgets that Carlo and I are parents now. And Chris is married. He's the only single guy. And he's like, hey, I'm coming into town. You guys want to go have dinner? No response. So he'll reply with, fine, I guess I'm on my own tonight. You guys want to hang out with me. Exactly.
You are.
Yes, yes you are. Bro.
And that's exactly what I don't reply to those two.
All right. So this next thing
can't wait for Laura to get here.
Come at me, Laura.
She will.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
It's coming.
This next thing came to my mind because this week John Oliver's, like, one of his topics was about UFOs. And also we talked about it earlier with the Area 51 conversation from Chrissy. So here's the scenario that I'm going to put in front of you, okay? You get taken by a UFO. You get taken up into the sky. You get put back down. You have literally zero evidence that you went into the sky besides your own memory.
But you remember it.
Yeah, only your own memory is all that you have as evidence that you went to a UFO. You would tell everyone you know. Keep in mind, if you tell everyone you know, you have no evidence, people might think you're crazy and put you in an insane asylum. Mm. All right, so.
Did this happen to you?
No. I'm just telling you a situation. I want to know what you guys think. So if you get taken up in a UFO with no evidence, you would tell everyone. Alf, after Cap.
So is the only question everyone, not like one or two people? It can't be one or two?
Every person that you come in contact with, you say, Cap. Yo, I got taken up in a UFO.
Yeah, I'm not telling. If that's the case, then I'm not going to tell.
You don't tell us when you're on vacation.
It's true. It's true.
You could be in a UFO every time.
Right. I could tell one or two people I'm in, but if I have to tell everybody and I have no evidence for it, I am going to look crazy. So I go, Cap.
So you would tell two people, even if you had no evidence. Like, say you tell Lady Slee and you tell Cousin Slee.
Yeah.
And they would believe you, you think?
Yeah, they would know I'm not lying to them. But if I'm telling everybody, I'm going to look crazier and crazier with every person that I tell. You see this idiot? You see him? He told us again?
Trev?
Yeah, it's Cap. I wouldn't tell everybody. I would tell a select few. And I'm trying to think about who I would tell, and I think there's exactly two people I would tell.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
The Albertsons guy.
Your waiter at the restaurant
by the way,
to go to on Fridays.
Big miss, Albertsons.
They screwed it up.
It's not good anymore.
Big mistake. Huge.
Yeah. The new sushi chef at Albertsons is very disappointing. I still get it every day, but it's not as good.
Susan is one.
Yes. Because she would know I'm not pulling her leg.
Right.
Like she would think something. She wouldn't think I got abducted by aliens, but she would believe that I believed it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
The other dad or mom?
My dad.
Kevin.
Dad.
Oh.
My dad. No, my mom would have me committed. Yeah. She'd be like, okay, something happened. He's lost his damn mind. Put him in a facility.
Slight change to this, too. You have one piece of evidence. That's kind of like could go either way. You have like a slime or something like that. You still same answer?
Susan and my dad.
Okay. No, if I have evidence, I'm going on CNN, Fox, going everywhere.
Slime is not enough evidence.
All right, Berg.
And by the way, if you, Alan Sliwa, went to anybody and told that story, they're believing you.
Yeah, I think so.
You're not a guy that just makes things up.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you tell everybody, nobody's going to believe you. If you tell one or two people who you really trust and trust you, then they'll believe you.
Okay, so I'm with these guys, though. I'm going to tell a certain amount of people because they're not going to believe me. I say too many things that are just outlandish, so they're going to be like, oh, yeah, shut up, get the hell out of here. So, no, I would only tell a couple.
I think also specifically, too, if you told, I don't know, your closest, bestest friend, they might think differently about you afterwards, too, because, again, you have no evidence.
Well, I wouldn't.
I want them to ask questions.
So if somebody confided in me in something like that, that I have that relationship with, I wouldn't think they got abducted, but I would believe that they believed that they got abducted.
Then like you might be worried about
them. Yes, I would get worried about the fact that they had this experience that has manifested itself in this crazy alien snatching. Like, what happened? Like, everything okay? I would be worried about that.
All right, Jorge, what do you think?
I think John would be on my side on this. I would run with that story and sell it everywhere. Make scripts about this, write books
about
this.
But you have no evidence. Nobody will believe you.
It doesn't matter, but it's something new, something different. It's my experience. How many ideas
I've... But now you're just a screenwriter.
Right. It doesn't matter.
Go on 4chan. Go on 4chan. It's all over the place there.
And I'm making money out of it. I would make money as much as
I saw the Loch Ness Monster. No one believes me.
Who knows? Right. Who knows? You're going to sell it. I'm going to find ways of selling this thing.
I got one more quick one I want to go around. This is from DJ Trunks on Twitter, and it's a really good question. Do you have a group chat that is exactly the same as another group chat minus one person?
So
the fact that you're laughing, Emily's a yes, you're a yes.
Yes, but not one. Not one, two people.
Two people, okay. So
I have multiple.
Yeah.
Okay. I definitely take someone out.
Look, when you have five or six people in a group chat, it's impossible that all five or six get along perfectly.
Well, one group chat is to talk about what someone else said in the other group chat. Yeah, you know? So like also it's like sometimes someone is not bringing their weight to a certain group, and so then I'm going to have to cut them out. And so then I create times which I hang out with that other group.
Jorge, do you have the minus one?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think everybody does.
Yeah.
I think everybody does.
There's always that one guy that you're like, eh, you can go.
But it's just, I don't need,
also,
sometimes you know the response. It's just like, I don't need this response right now. So I'm just going to change the checklist.
Yeah. Do they know that they're not in the group chat? Because like, okay, so.
It's just a separate chat.
No. I would say no.
I don't think they know. Yeah, no. Why would they know?
If they did know.
I'm sure I got knocked out of a few.
I was going to say, I'm sure I've been kicked out of some, and it doesn't bother me.
I have no idea if I did, but I'm pretty sure. I
You've left a few.
I try and keep getting re-added. Travis has left the chat. Chris Morales has re-added Travis Rogers.
If someone's going to re-add it, it's Chris Morales. That's re-adding you.
Specific thing. So there is a group chat of my friends from college. So my best friends from college. And the text group chat has everybody minus one plus one, okay? So there's one person that's not in that group, and then one person that's added, like it's a significant other. So that's in this group. And then that's on text. We have a Snapchat group that is the original college people.
Yeah.
And so almost always, I don't like doing the Snapchat group because there's one guy, we left him out for a reason.
Is he listening right now?
No.
Is it the kid that beat you for class secretary?
Nah, not a
little guy.
What's his name again? I need to remember this.
Jay Koppel.
Jay
Koppel's
a mortal enemy.
Put that in your head.
That entangled. Those are the two things that I'm going to try to do. We'll talk more about
Ted
Darvin
Koppel.
Officially, there you go, officially being released as the Laker coach. And who else is on the clock? Namely, Rob Pelinka. Is this his last bite at the apple? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
All right, a lot of breaking news today. Some breaking news from Pizza Hut as well. Any medium pizza with any of your favorite toppings are all just $12. Any recipe, any toppings, any medium pizza for just $12. We've had Pizza Hut coming in here now the last couple of months, always hooking us up. We try showing it on YouTube every time too. Take advantage of this great offer. You can order now on the Pizza Hut app or at pizzahut.com.
Good job, DJ Trunks, on the do you have the group chat minus one? Is there anybody that doesn't? Everybody's got that, right?
Yeah, I have three of them.
All I know, it's like I'm in 31 of them. I'm the minus one.
But everybody is. That's my point. I don't think it's an indication that you're a bad guy or a good. It's just there's, you know, it doesn't need to be a part of this. We're just going to talk about the other thing.
It's also just life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I like it. All right, the Lakers officially are in search of a new coach. They are officially out of the Darvin Ham business. They've got draft picks. They've got two very, very good NBA players. Both of them are on the wrong side of their best years, I think, but still excellent, excellent players. LeBron's going to be 40 next season. Is it 22 or 23 next? 22.
22.
In his 22nd season. AD's still a high-level performer, but
AD should be. I mean, he's 31. This is your This is your prime right now.
Do you think that he's got more good years in front or in back?
Behind.
I do, too. Yeah. And look, it may be close, but I think so, too. They're going to have to get better on the roster. They're going to have to get better on the sidelines with their head coach. They're going to have to get better at both of those things, and the person that's in charge of doing that, or at least technically, and like if we have an org chart that's in charge of doing that, is Rob Pelinka. LeBron James obviously going to have a great deal of influence there. Clutch will have a great deal of influence there. But this is the same guy that's put together these last few teams, the same guy that's put together the last couple of coaching staffs, and one lasted 3 years, the next one lasted two. Lakers fire through coaches all the time. Being super optimistic about what's coming next, I mean, you want to be, but it's hard to be.
Here's where the challenge is not just what the Lakers do. You mentioned it a little bit earlier as well. The recipe right now for success in the NBA is not aging players that have been in the league for a long time. It's not. You went through your list of...
You want it again?
Yeah, and I think pointing out who's remaining right now...
Here's who's out, okay? Here's who's out. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Joel Embiid, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Damian Lillard, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and James Harden, probably. Okay, they're down 3-2, and they got a road game tonight. Okay, with the exception of Devin Booker, all of those guys, I think, fall into that category we talked about. Far fewer good years coming up than they've already put in the books. Okay? And in some cases, extremely that way. LeBron James, Kevin KD. Durant. These guys have been around. Steph Curry. Steph. They've been around forever and been
Kawhi.
Hall of Famers. Kawhi, for sure. Hall of Fame. Every last person on that list is a Hall of Famer. Here's who's, and they're all out. Here's who's in. Shea, Chet, Luka, Anthony Edwards, Murray, Jokic, Tatum, Brown, Halliburton, Brunson. They're all the opposite of that. Way more good years coming up than they've already put in the bank. That's the league is so much younger, and it's not on its way, it's already here. So if like the elevator cars are passing each other,
sure.
right?
Yep.
It's already passed. You're already on the wrong side. You're not even equal anymore. It's already gone the other way. So not only do you have to get better, you got to get younger if possible.
I think the offseason is going to be interesting too, because if I told you, if I didn't say it was the Los Angeles Lakers, if I told you that there's a team in the NBA that has two still really good players,
mm-hmm.
but they just fired their head coach, and the roster that they currently have, there's a good chance that they're going to change a lot of what that current roster looks like. Would you look at that and say, oh, well, that's an interesting blueprint. I think there's a lot of success coming there. Usually the roster that I said, hey, you got two really good players, you got an established head coach, and you got role players all over the place, and they're going to probably bring back the same team. And I'm not telling you that's what the Lakers should have done,
mm-hmm.
but where they're sitting right now, changing a coach is a big difference. If you reset the role players again, that's a big difference as well. They're also not in a spot where there's going to be probably most likely not that much continuity, because you're going to be bringing in different players and a completely different system from a coach perspective.
They have very limited options going forward, right? Because you have to give LeBron what he needs today. There is no, okay, give us a little time. We're going to figure this out. Let us keep these picks. You have to swing big today because of LeBron James, because of Anthony Davis, and because that's what the Laker expectations are, that the Lakers very clearly do not want to back it up to start over again. They don't want to, you know, three steps back to go four steps forward. It's a, now let's try it again, nibble on the edges, because the main part of it, LeBron and AD, that's going to be here. And it probably should be. But what are the moves? Trae Young's name comes up. DeJounte Murray's name comes up. These aren't names that go, hey, if you get that.
Remember Zach Levine's name was up a lot.
If you can get that guy, all of a sudden we're right there with the Nuggets. We're right there with Minnesota or OKC. It's like, are you better? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. But you're not on that level. And there isn't the next big free agent that's getting ready to shake loose right now. You're almost waiting for Luka or Giannis or one of these guys to go, I don't want to be here anymore. They can't get it fixed. Get me out of here. And, oh, by the way, I'd like to go to L.A.
That's not coming for – if that happens, that you're talking post-LeBron. You're not talking about during LeBron's
era. So they're really in a really weird spot. And hopefully, like Ireland mentioned this, and I think it's a great point, somebody that you don't think is available is going to be available in the short term. The Lillard to Milwaukee situation. And I know that didn't work out, but – if that presented itself, you're certainly going to jump on it, something like that. Porzingis, Holiday, guys that are like, hey, you know, we can get that guy. Okay, let's see what that looks like.
And you didn't know that was going to be the case, you know, 2 weeks before or whatever the case is. By the way, I think that can't. I mean, I hope that's what the Lakers are depending on, because of all the names that we just mentioned, use Trae Young, use DeJounte Murray, use Zach LaVine.
Oof.
I would rather have DeJounte Murray than those two other guys, because you're also giving up less capital to go get them. You could probably keep an Austin Reeves in a situation
like that.
You know what's
interesting, too? Like, and I thought that Pelinka did a good job with this. That mm-hmm. right there. That 2 years ago, when they were getting ready to trade Russell Westbrook, the whole league knew that they had to get him out of there, right? But Rob Pelinka did a pretty good job of at least waiting to where he didn't have to give away everything to get him out. He was patient. He let it happen. They got it done at a reasonable price. The whole league knows they need to move these picks. The whole league knows that they're in such a win-now mode that the price for, I don't know, pick a team, Portland – could be one thing, but for the Lakers, I know you have to do that. Your house is on fire. You have to make a move. Your price is whatever it is plus a premium.
Do you know what? Do you want to know why they all know he's got to move
them?
Because
they keep saying it.
Pelinka said after the trade deadline, Lakers had a game. Trade deadline was noon on a Thursday. Lakers had a game that night. Remember the quote of, you can't sell a home, you can't buy a home that's not for sale.
Yep.
And then he literally went on to say, this summer, we're going to have three draft picks, three first rounders. He basically laid out, and that, listen, that's fine. I mean, I get it. If everybody knows there's not really much poker to be played, okay, I know he's got a strong hand. I know he has three first rounders, whatever the case is, but he literally has said that before in public. So,
you and LeBron's 40. Mm-hmm. Still great, but 40. There is no, hey, sit tight. We'll get it figured out eventually. Just give me a little more. There's no more time. He's 40. He's going into year 22. You're going to extend him a year or two, maybe, and that's fine. I'm with it. It's cool. He's awesome. He fills the house. He's exciting to watch. Cool. But there is no waiting around. Mm-hmm. It has to happen right now. And that's the scariest part to me, because you're going to make decisions based from a position of weakness as opposed to, hey, I got some skin in this too. I got the ability to wait you out just as much as you have the ability to try to hold me up. They're not. They're dealing from a position of weakness when it comes to all those trades, and that's never a good spot to
come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
That guy. How many times do you think he did that in the mirror before he went out there and did it in front of the world?
Come after me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm a man. Like.
Dodgers and Braves tonight at Dodger Stadium, and we have baseball that matters in May. It's great. Let's do it. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.